Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica. And tonight I have with me our guest, Tanner Johnson.
Hi.
Hey, Tanner. How are you?
Dandy.
Good. Tanner used to work as the account clerk, too, in the accounting department for the elections department in Shasta County.
That's correct.
He's been all over the news the last week. And so we brought him here tonight to talk about his experience and answer some questions and clear anything that might be muddled up.
Yeah.
Tonight we're live from the KCNR radio station, 96.5 FM in downtown Reading. You can call in and talk to Tanner and ask questions if you'd like at 530-605-4566 or 4567. We will have the phone lines open all night, so feel free to call in. So let's just get into it, why don't we?
All right.
So, Tanner, why don't you tell us, give us a little bit of your background?
So, I was working in the elections department for a year, actually. And I actually was hired on to do the hand count back when they wanted to do the paper.
To make a plan about it?
No,
to actually do it.
I was extra help.
Okay.
Like, I literally was at home, and I was watching the news, and I was seeing, like, how they were treating Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this isn't okay. Like,
right.
I can't just, like, it just, the injustice.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. So I was like, I'm going to go work there.
So you took a stand, and you took some action. Awesome.
And honestly, it was like, the job itself paid a lot less than I was used to working in the banking industry for 16 years. So it didn't matter, though. Like, I was like, I'm going to do it. And so, yeah, I started at the hand count, and then they just thought I was adorable. And they're like, we're going to keep him. And then I became full-time, and I worked in accounting. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you do in accounting. Some people might not know, for the elections office.
Right. So there's only two of us.
Okay.
It's this very, very tiny area. But we basically deal with the invoices that come in. You know, we pay the vendors, Rombeck, Hart, all those big names that you've been hearing lately.
Right.
Like, we would be responsible for dealing with making sure they got paid and making sure they were within contract. Budgetary concerns, grants was another big one. And that's kind of what I did. Like, I just made sure the bills were paid.
Right.
Yeah.
So to walk us through a little bit about when you started and up and for the whole year, how did things go in the elections office?
So
what did you witness?
So most of the time, I'm just a bean counter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just sit back there and I just pay the bills.
Right.
But when election time came, it was like all hands on deck. And
was this the primary?
Yes.
Okay.
This was the primary and then the special election.
Mm,
those
right.
were two that I actually worked. And when it's time to do that, I became the observer escort.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which is just like a fancy way of saying like, make sure they don't get into shenanigans or
something. Yeah, and you too. I mean, I've been an observer, so I know you lead them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lead them down.
I stay there. Like, last time I was there until 1:30 in the morning, and they were still there, just looking at those screens, looking for fraud. And it was like, go home.
Yeah.
I just want to go home and sleep. I've been here 18 hours.
Yeah. So what did you experience? What did you witness?
So, a lot of things. The observers, first of all, they've become organized. And they've become, I don't know, like, emboldened by the Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
They have these thoughts that they're single-handedly going to find that golden goose. And they're going to expose all the fraud and everything.
Right. Yeah, they've been saying, I mean, that's something that's been said for years now, probably the last 2 years, We don't know what yet, but we're going to find it.
Right.
It's coming. We're going to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, even Supervisor Cry is famous for that. Mm. There is information coming out, and give us a couple months, and it will be here. And we... So, yeah, I do agree that it comes, the emboldenment comes from leadership.
Right.
Just like it does nationally.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, these people, like, there are observers that I actually did like.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I like Bev Gray.
Right.
I think, honestly, she was a nice lady. I just, you know, I mentioned this prior that I just feel like she got mixed in with a bad crowd, you know? Like... It's almost like they're taking advantage of an elderly woman. But she is genuinely a pleasant lady. Like, I've had conversations with her. And it's just like, oh, Bev. I just really, like, want to be like, don't your children, like, don't you have someone who can, like, help you?
Lead you out of this mess.
Right, because, like, they've got their hooks in her. Mm-hmm. And they are, the thing is, they, like I said, they're organized. They have their own printouts that they have. They have jobs. They do shifts. Like, it's a big thing. And we went from having maybe, like, 1 to 2 observers per election. Like, no one really cared. Like, okay, it's fine.
So you were not working at the election that was the real chaos, right?
The one that just happened?
No, the year before. It was not the primary. It was last year.
Yeah, I worked the November
The crazy
election.
One?
Mm-hmm. Oh. That was my first one.
Oh, nice.
So I was hired in August.
Because you feel like they've gotten better, right, since then? Or not really.
More of the same, I would say. Okay. Yeah. But, that one was horrible. That was when I first encountered madness. Like, I had never experienced that in my life. I guess I was just very sheltered. But, like, Lori Bridgeford was getting into it with Kathy. I don't even remember what it was. But she started losing it. Like, she was screaming so violently that, like, she was, like, spittle with spew. And Kathy even said, she's like, you need to stop spitting on me.
Yeah.
Which only enraged her further. And, like, it was sheer madness. Like, there was no, like, there was no reason in her eyes at that point. And I was like, whoa. And it was so intense that... And Kathy was just out there, and, you know, reporters are recording it, and they want to have a scoop. And I'm like, this is not something someone should suffer alone.
No.
So I went out there, and I just put my hand on her shoulder. And I didn't say anything. I just stood there, just so she knew, like, she wasn't alone.
Right.
Because, like, that terrified me.
Right.
Terrified me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm 6'4". I'm a big guy. And it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah, because when you witness insanity like that, you never know, you don't know what to expect. I mean,
right.
Serious, scary things can happen, especially for some of those people that carry weapons with them. I unfortunately have just been afraid of the day that something really terrible happens, but...
Right. Well, that's where I ended up.
Yeah. So we have to take a break, so we'll continue. Well, we have a couple minutes, huh? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. but I don't want to get too deep into anything else before we have to take our break. But so so you were witnessing the chaos of the first election.
Yep.
Then, what happened then it was a special election?
Yeah. That was the one.
The gateway one?
Yeah. And then the recall.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that was a big one.
So which one?
Just kind of, like, muddled together, like,
right?
In a sense, but yeah, that.
What things stand out?
So, first of all, the rhetoric. That was always the thing that was like, "Why are you guys even saying?"
Right.
And they would come and harass us. They would get angry over everything. You know, we erect that fence to protect us from them, and they freaked out about it.
Right.
They wanted blood, and it was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, also, like, these people, they're clever. They try to get you. So for me as an observer escort, I'm with them the whole time.
Right.
They'll ask you questions.
Right.
And they'll be like secretly videotaping you or secretly recording.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't.
Which they're not supposed to do, right?
No. But I can't tell you how many times, like, I would look down and, like, Laura Hobbs is, like, secretly. But you can see the little, like, record button on her bright screen. Like, girl. But, yeah, they just. They would try to get you. They would try to.
Yep.
Try to, like, make you trip up.
Well, we do have to go to break now. So tell me more about the getcha when we get back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back.
I just don't know when I'm addicted. And I hate when I lie and I hate when you cry. And my face don't know when I'm addicted. And I worry about my problem, but you know that I never, but you know that I never be. I just.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
We are back with Shasta Unmasked at KCNR, downtown Reading. We are with Tanner Johnson today. Tanner recently resigned as the account clerk, too, in the county department for the elections department due to reported harassment and safety concerns. And we've been talking about what he's experienced with the elections office so far in his year there. The phone lines are open, so please give us a call and chat with Tanner if you'd like at 530-605-4566 or 67. So we were just talking about instances that had happened at the last elections, but let's kind of speed up and talk about what happened this round.
Oh, so this round, it got a little weird. Like, it got weird. So there was this event that actually happened, and, you know, we're used to the observers by this point.
Right.
But people were getting, like, really heated about this election in particular.
Right.
You know, you have Jones going on the Dutch TV interview.
Right.
Saying that, you know, if they cheat him out of another election, we're going to say something about it. And he has, like, thousands of guns. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, all right, so great.
You know, when I was at the elections office a few days ago and Jones was there, Supervisor Jones, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, he, right in front of me, was talking to somebody else, and I can't for sure name the name, so I'm not going to, but he said that Trump was only going to win if it was big enough to make the fraud disappear.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
This adorable.
This is convenient.
Right. Like, it was convenient. Like, did you notice at the last board meeting, he was like, my hat's off to the elections department. Like, dude. You've literally been to hell for the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
For no reason.
For no reason.
Because they couldn't.
But now that they got their way, it's like, oh, hats off.
Yeah.
Good exactly. job, fellas. It's like.
But it worked, didn't it? The big lie. I mean, it pissed people off so bad that they right. Created this huge lie about election fraud and got people so furious that they voted for him again.
Right. But it's kind of weird because, like, why are there still observers there?
Yeah, it is.
Like,
your guy won.
They got
there by a landslide.
There was a memo that was sent out. They were like, they're like, hey, fellas, you know. Thanks for all that hard work that literally saved Donald Trump's
yeah.
bacon. Your medal is in the mail. But, you know, we don't want to make it too obvious.
Right.
So if you could just keep showing up and acting like you still
yeah.
give a crap, that would be great.
Like, well, we can't pretend now that we were wrong.
Right.
So.
Like, it was you, Laura yeah. Hobbs.
Yep.
You did this.
Yep.
You did it.
I wonder if she'll ever come out and say I was wrong.
Well, you gotta wonder, like, don't they feel a little like, cause you know, they never sent any of this evidence
right.
in.
No.
It never went anywhere. No. It's still on their kitchen table.
Right.
Like, so, he still won by a landslide.
Yeah.
So, all of your effort was for nothing.
And not only that, but how embarrassing.
Right. You wasted like, your life.
And you convinced all these, you convinced all these people that it was real.
Right.
I mean,
somebody may go to jail. Like, I hope it was worth it.
Oh, my God. But honestly, I kind of liked the fact that they got organized and all that because it gave them something to do.
Right. I like it.
Good one,
I
producer.
Like it. I like it.
It gave them something to do, and they weren't as vocal everywhere else.
Right.
Because they were so busy. So I was like, yes, please.
They
dipped
their toe into activism, I guess.
No.
But, like, they really didn't. Do anything
except for
except make people miserable.
Be for real things.
Yeah, literally, like health wise, our department,
yeah.
you know, terrible.
Yeah,
the mental health
yeah.
of our department is in the tank.
Yeah,
me, like I when I first started, I'm a very bright, sunny, like funny guy,
right.
and then I noticed as this election came near, I started to like slink away. I, you know, depression was setting in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've done too much work on my mental health
right.
over the last 3 years that I'm not just going to throw it all away for an election.
Right.
Like, it's meaningless to me.
Right.
Like, yeah, I wasn't willing to be a martyr.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
So, I interrupted when you
okay.
started talking
yeah, yeah.
about what had happened this time, and you were talking about
Kevin
how...
Cryle. It was Kevin Cryle.
Okay.
Let's just cut to the chase.
Okay.
So, he came in, and I had was there for...
When was this?
This was on October 4th.
Okay.
Okay. We were doing the logic and accuracy testing.
Okay.
And it was open to the public.
Right.
It was an observable event.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could come in, you could just be quiet, because, you know... We have 12 staff who
mm-hmm.
are counting the test ballots,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to make sure that the machines are calibrated and everything's accurate. So when they do start running the ballots, we're good. Well, he shows up, and I don't know if he was there as an observer or if he was there as chairman of the board. I don't know, but he was there.
Was he wearing a badge as an observer? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but he was like, I think he was wearing shorts and a hoodie.
Okay.
So I think he was.
An observer, probably.
Yeah. Well, I hear him on the phone, and he was like, hey, he was talking to someone. He's like, get down here, and I need you to help me understand. No, just help me understand. And I was like, I was sitting behind at a desk,
mm-hmm.
and like, there was a big bush, and I stood there because I recognized his voice, and I'm like, oh, let's see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that feeling everyone in the department has, like, oh, it's Kevin Cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like meandering about. He's talking to one of the supervisors, of the elections department. And he's like, you hate me. He's like, Joe, you hate me, don't you? And she's like, no, I don't hate you. And he's like, he goes, well, Joanna tells you to hate me, so you hate me, don't you? And he was like, really weird. Like, it was weird behavior. Yeah. And so he's saying all that stuff. And, like, I was like, what even is this? And then suddenly this guy shows up. And he looked like he just walked in. He was out working in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was wearing, like, dirty jeans and just a short, older fella. And then, like, Kevin goes over there and he's talking to that dude. And apparently that was the guy he called, because then that guy's, like, trying to tell Kevin, like, what's going on. It's like, you could have just asked us instead.
Who was the guy?
I don't know. He was some short, old guy. And I don't know. But he looked like he was just out and about doing his thing. And, yeah, he came by, and then he was like, you guys are going to rig the election again, aren't you?
What?
Yeah. And then
the old guy said that?
Yeah. And so Kevin is taking pictures of staff who are counting ballots.
Wow.
And then he's also taking video, which is interesting because it's like he went on there and was like, hey, just release the video. And and I was like, bro, you have the video.
Right.
You exonerate yourself.
Yeah.
I'll go away. Simple.
Right. So about that, about the video thing.
Yes.
We did get a question in our messenger from somebody about wanting you to clarify that you had made a comment about the servers and the IT department, and they wanted you to clarify essentially that the circumstances surrounding that.
Right. So, you know, I was reading it and I'm like, yeah, I guess it could be misconstrued, like, that I'm saying, oh, the IT department is inept and they're in on, but it's like, they're not.
Right.
But they are the ones who will have to install the server.
Right.
But the process literally just started like a week before I left. Like,
right.
Which means we have to submit a proposal. We have to, you know, organize the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just getting around to doing this.
Right.
But, like, we do have a surveillance system. I did find out. So, and it does record. So that's very good.
Yeah,
that's
really very good. Nice. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the IT department's fault that there wasn't surveillance. It was just the process that was taking a while for them, which is normal.
And honestly, it's not even really IT.
Oh.
Like, they just do the installation work.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's more of like
the bureaucracy.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Like the administration.
Red tape.
Yes.
I worked for the county for 6 months and left promptly for that reason. I worked in children's mental health in wraparound where we had to, you know, to get a kid a pair of shoes, it would take like 3 months.
Yeah.
Because you have to send this here and that there and signatures and la, 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 la.
That was the story of my life.
Yeah.
That was literally my job.
Terrible.
Climbing through all, and it's like, and no one talks to each other.
That's why nonprofit world's better.
Right.
When you're trying to do public service anyways. Anyways, that was a tangent. So, back to Kevin Cry, and he's in the office, and he is recording.
Yes, okay. And then he is talking to the supervisor again, and he's wanting her to move the rope barriers. Like, we had the rope barriers set up.
For him or in general?
In general.
Okay.
But, you know, and she was like, well, I can't have you, like, climbing over the rope barrier.
Yeah.
She was, like, pushing back, and which she should have, because it's, like,
it's not his
purview to make these decisions. Like, it's Joe's.
Right.
And it's Tom's. Like, it's them.
Yeah.
But he's saying, like, no, I'll move it closer. And she was, like, he just kept pushing it. And, like, he was debating with her and, like, you know how he does. And so she relented and she moved the barriers closer to the tables.
Mm.
So it went from being, like, you know, 3 feet up away from the tables to maybe, like, a foot. And some of my coworkers who were there, they were like, it was really weird because then he was, like, coming up to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he was acting strange. He was being like, oh, I'm gonna reach over and grab your ballot. I'm gonna reach over and grab your ballot. And
the heck?
Yeah, and he would like act like he was gonna get in their business, and it was
distracting them from doing their job.
Yeah, they're literally counting.
Yeah,
but it's like I guess the fact that they weren't actual ballots meant that it was just all a joke anyway. But it's like it is an official elections process,
right?
It really is, yeah. And it was an observable activity,
right?
Open to the public.
And observers are not supposed to distract the people from doing their job.
No. And I said,
they're also not supposed to record.
Right. But they do.
Yeah.
But my thing was, like, if he was an observer, like a normal, if that was Laura Hobbs.
Right.
And she was doing that, like, we would have said, bye.
Right.
Get out.
Yeah.
And there would have been nothing she could have done about it.
Right.
It would have happened. But he was allowed to stay there, and he was also allowed to move things closer. And my coworkers were telling me, they were like, this was my first interaction with Kevin Cry, and he made me feel really uneasy.
Mm.
And, you know, some of the female coworkers. Mm. And
let's take a pause right there.
Oh.
That's serious. But we need to take a break. So when we come back, let's finish on that topic. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more, right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Welcome back to Shasta and Mass. This is Jessica. I'm here with Tanner Johnson this evening.
Hi.
Hello again. We are live at the KCNR radio station, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Our phone line is open at 530-605-4566 or 67. You're welcome to call in and ask Tanner some questions or chat with him for a minute if you want. We'll have the phone line open for the rest of the night. So when we left off, we were talking about Kevin Cry and Supervisor Cry in the elections office causing some chaos. And you said that he made some of your female coworkers uncomfortable.
Yeah, because he was, like, getting, the barrier now is, like, less than a foot away from the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going there. He thinks he's being funny. And, like, mm-hmm. he even said, he's like, I thought I was just being funny. It was a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, these people are trying to do a job, and he's like, I'm going to take your ballot. Oh, I'm going to get you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, that's not okay. And, like, he's taking pictures of the staff, and he was causing such a ruckus that two of the extra help gals who were counting,
mm-hmm.
we have these white flags at each table. I believe there were three tables. And there's four people at each table for the count. So there's 12 people just counting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these white flags. Like, and if you need a supervisor, you raise the white flag because you don't want to disrupt the other people counting.
Mm-hmm.
And, two of the gals at two different tables raised their white flags. And it was because he was being so disruptive. And it even got to a point where...
So when they raised the white flag, then what happens? A supervisor comes,
mm-hmm.
and they told the supervisor?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
That, I don't know.
Yeah.
That kind of gets into the thing about, you know, the kid gloves thing that really sparked.
So when Tom Toler was doing his press conference the other day, and I was there for Shasta Unmasked, mm-hmm. I asked him about... that. I asked him, what is the procedure if an observer mm-hmm. misbehaves? And he said that they get a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And he did admit to getting reports of disruption about Kevin Cry. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if he had received a warning, and he told me no.
Right.
And then I don't think it was me that asked, but another reporter asked if about the kid glove comment, and he said that he meant it as that because they have that it meant them to give them respect.
Right, like they're the highest executives.
Yeah,
and it's like that actually kind of makes it worse because it's like the equivalent of the CEO of a major corporation mm-hmm. coming down to the mailroom where you work, slapping the mail out of your hands and saying, you suck, you suck. I hate you.
Right.
And I want everyone else to hate you too. It's like, how long would you work there?
Right.
Like, not long.
No.
That would be that.
Yeah.
But we kept doing it. We kept doing the job because we thought it mattered.
Right.
And like that, a lot of people... Yeah, their mental health is in the tank, and they literally give every ounce of themselves to the process. Like, look at Joe. Like, my God. My God.
Yeah. Are you talking about Joanna, friend?
Yes, sorry. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, if it were me, and I went through what she went through in that interview process where she earned that promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose to put someone else in that position that never worked in the election office a day in their life.
Yeah.
Was not healthy. Stressed to the max already.
Yeah.
Retired for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tom's a nice guy now.
He is?
But I'm just saying, if that would have happened to me, I would have quit that day and I would have never went back. Joanna is something else.
She cares.
Yeah. She is in it for the right reasons. I mean, it's also a right reason to want to get promoted and to earn what you're worth.
Right.
And actually, I haven't asked yet, but I know I need to find this out because I found out that Joanna was not being paid accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one of the supervisor meetings during the time when she was doing the interview,
mm-hmm.
do you remember Kevin Cry made the comment about how, oh, we should give Joanna a raise.
Right, because she was doing the job of ROV.
Did she get a raise, do you know?
I don't know. I don't think
I'm
going
to find that out, because she better be getting paid what she deserves. I mean,
right. But that thing about Jo is, like, she is amazing.
Yeah.
She truly is, like, one of... I have never met someone that I just resonate with.
Yeah.
On almost like a mental wavelength. Like, yeah. She would always say, like, you can read my mind.
Aww.
And it was like, yeah. Like,
she's just a beautiful human. You can see it, her soul, kind of, you
yeah.
know. Like, I feel like I read people very well, and I wouldn't consider us friends or anything, but just from seeing her and talking to her in the elections office,
yeah.
she's just so genuine. And the fact that she stayed in that position to help the man that she knew couldn't do the job by himself,
right,
for the integrity of our elections, says so much about her character and her willingness to give too much of herself.
I mean,
in my opinion,
she kind of knew she didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
Like, she knew beforehand that she
well,
was
yeah.
not going, but she still went up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kevin, there's rumors that mm-hmm. he was wheeling and dealing with her behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't taking the bait. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
that's how she knew, like,
yeah, she was going to be honest about herself.
Yeah, and, like, when he questioned her, he wanted her to say, like, that there was inaccuracies and fraud, and she
oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
do it.
Right, in the interview I was watching.
Right,
yeah.
And that just sealed the deal.
Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, where were we? Went off on another tangent.
I know, I do that sometimes.
So do I. ADHD brain.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Cry. So, yeah, he was just being really weird, very terrible,
mm-hmm.
disrupting the elections
right.
process.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not okay.
Right.
And I was like, I think I'm over it. I'm like, we need to go to the union.
Mm-hmm.
I told my coworkers, I'm like, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually rallied quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were a lot, but five people, including myself,
mm-hmm.
like, we went to UPEC 792
mm-hmm.
and we told the union rep all everything.
Right.
We unloaded. We talked about how Kevin Cry was electioneering at Shasta High School about Measures P and Q, and Tom was there as he was doing it and didn't stop him.
Oh.
It's like, that's also a crime. Like,
ugh.
Hello?
Yeah.
So that happened.
Wow.
And then, everything. We talked about Rich Gallardo, and, you know, he had that gun in his pocket, and then, like, he went out and assaulted Nathan Pinckney, and the police came by and they frisked him, and he
mm-hmm.
had a gun in his pocket.
Right.
Like, he didn't run to his car after leaving the building to grab his gun. Like,
right.
it was on his person.
Right.
And, like,
and there's video footage of that everywhere.
It was on our live stream.
Was that reported to the district attorney?
I don't know about that. I reported stuff to the district attorney.
I mean, how could that... The elections department should have reported that. I mean, if they received the report that he had a gun in the office...
You know, the DOJ knows about it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep going. We're going to get off on another tangent
there. Yeah, sorry. so we reported this
uh-huh.
to the union, and, you know, we also reported it to our supervisors,
mm-hmm.
and then in the following staff meeting, it came up. We were talking about, you know, Kevin Cry's antics there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a Teams meeting, so
right.
I was in my cubicle, and I'm listening to Tom say, like, oh, you know, you just handle him with kid gloves, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
I refuse to do that. I refuse to take it anymore.
Right.
So, me, I'm a little sassy,
mm-hmm.
and I hate injustice.
Right.
I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, okay, this is it. And so, when we actually went to the union, I told the union rep, I was like, I don't care what happens to me. I have nothing to lose.
Right.
Like, divorced, bankrupt, I got nothing.
Right.
I literally, like, what are they going to do? Sue me and put me in super bankruptcy?
Right.
Oh, no. like, my life is already pretty much, like, bare bones. But
uh-huh.
I stayed there because I love those people.
Yeah.
I love my coworkers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the county did not pay enough
mm-hmm.
at all.
Right.
And, like, I barely make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where I was just like, yeah, I will sacrifice myself because I'm not concerned about me. Like, right. I don't want to make it better for me, but I want to make it better for the people who come after.
Yeah.
And that was my goal. Yeah. That was the whole election Jesus thing.
Yeah. Well, it's very brave of you to tell your story and also to be the voice for people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them cannot say what you're willing to say.
A lot of people are scared.
And I mean, even Tom Toller said when people asked if what you said was true, he said that he can't make comments about personnel issues,
yeah.
but that you're a good man and people should trust what you say.
I know.
And I thought, oh, that was a great way of saying that.
Thanks, Tom.
But something really scary happened to you.
Yeah.
You were telling about. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. So stay tuned and call in at 605-4566 or 67 if you have questions you want to talk to Tanner about. And when we return, we will hear about what terrifying thing happened to Tanner.
Scary.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. We'll play part two of a conversation with Robert Crane, plus we'll welcome back David Koenig, author of Shooting Columbo and his new book, Unshot Columbo. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Stressed Unmasked. This is Jessica, and I'm here live with Tanner Johnson.
Hello
again. We are in our last little segment of our show tonight. We are live at the KCNR radio station, 96.5, downtown Reading, 530-605-4566 or 67, if you'd like to call in and chat with Tanner for a minute before we end the show. But when we left, we were explaining that something really scary happened to you, and you've not talked about this yet before.
Right.
So, not to the media anyways.
To the media, yeah.
So, why don't you tell us what happened?
So, I was just at home. This was after I had quit, and it was 5:30 in the evening, okay? So, it's getting dark, and all of a sudden, someone starts pounding on my door.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is weird. So I was actually on the phone with someone, and I was like...
Was it perchance October 31st?
No. Scarier than that. But so I looked out my blinds, and there were these two really big guys wearing sunglasses at 5:30 p.m.
Whoa.
And I was like, it's the militia. They're Whoa. Here. Kevin Christ sent them after me. Whoa. And I'm like, I'm telling my friends, I'm like, if you need to find me, just follow the trail of Copenhagen and diesel exhaust. Like, come, that's where I'll be, guys. And, but, yeah, so it was really scary. And they kept beating on my door. Uh-huh. And then I didn't answer. And then they went to my next door neighbor, and they started beating on his door.
Whoa.
And I heard them ask him, like, does this guy live here? And they must have been showing my picture.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, yeah, he lives there. And they're like, do you have his cell phone number? And they're like, no. And so at that point, I started getting really worried.
Yeah.
And so they go out there, and they're standing on the sidewalk. There's three of them, two really big dudes
uh-huh.
and a burly woman. And I was like, oh, no. Huh. And they just stood there. They weren't leaving. Well. And I'm like, they're waiting for me to come out. They're going to get me.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I don't know what to do. Right. And so my phone started to ring, and it was a number I didn't recognize.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't answer it. And then he left a voicemail, and he was like, hi, this is so-and-so from the Department of Justice.
Oh.
We want to speak with you. And I was like, mm-hmm, likely story, buddy. And so...
So you didn't believe that it was them?
No. So I called him back,
oh.
and I looked out there, and he's on the phone uh-huh. with me. I'm like, that's him. And he's like, yeah, we really want to talk to you. And I'm like, how do I know you are who you
yeah,
say you
exactly.
are?
Exactly.
And then he's like, well, we can meet in a public place. And I was like, oh, okay. And I looked out there, and I saw they had, like, really big badges around their necks.
Okay.
And I was like, oh. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, I opened my door, and there was a card stuck in my door,
oh,
and it had
mm-hmm.
the Department of Justice. And it said, Tanner, please call or text us at this mm-hmm. number. So I went out there, and, you know, they showed me their identification, and I was like, what would you like to know? And
did you tell them you thought they were militia?
I did. I did.
Oh, wouldn't it have been pretty funny if they were like, we're trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty?
Oh,
you got
man.
The jokes tonight, producer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Get it. But, yeah, they wanted to know everything about Kevin Cry. They wanted to know about Patrick Jones, which was interesting.
Yeah.
They wanted to know about Rich Gallardo.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they didn't care about Chris Kellstrom because, like, who really does?
Was this before they came and stationed themselves at the office? Because I saw them there when I was there.
This was before, but they had told me that they weren't the only team. There was an entire squad that was sent up here.
Wow.
Like, some were sent up to monitor the election,
right.
like, secretly.
Yeah.
And then they didn't say how many others,
mm-hmm.
but they were investigating people.
Wow.
And so...
Good.
I told them everything. They wanted to know specifically about election intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I provided links to... like Facebook,
right.
All this stuff. Like, I gave them everything
yeah.
that I had access to.
Right.
And I was like, well, here you go, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good for you.
They're, it was interesting,
and
though.
Good that somebody's looking out for the elections office and the actual integrity of our elections.
Right. Well, they were protecting the elections office.
Yeah.
But, like, they sent three people to just me, and there were more. There were
yeah.
more out there, and I don't know how many. But, yeah, they're starting to look under all the stones.
Yeah.
See what's what.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you allow this kind of thing to happen, it becomes a, what's the right word for it? You know, it's something that happens first, and then it continues to allow.
Like epidemic.
Kind
systemic.
Of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it, if it's, you allow it once, it's going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you, there should be certain things that are zero tolerance, like interference with elections and intimidation
right.
and interference in bringing guns to the elections office. There are a reason why we have these laws. And I'm wondering, is it public record to find out if these things were reported? to the DA? The actual law breaking?
I reported to the DA.
What did you report?
I reported Kevin Cry's
intimidation.
Mm-hmm. I told everything.
And did you report the gun situation?
Well, that I'm like, that's small fries at this point. That was a while ago, and I was just like,
right.
But really, like, I don't think people understand. Like, Newsom signed AB 2642. It was an urgency statute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that happened at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And it was specifically designed to protect elections workers.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the board knew about it because they opposed it. But mm-hmm. I don't know if they really understand that the law also allows us to sue for civil damages.
Right.
Like, election workers can sue for civil damages now.
Mm-hmm.
If they felt, like, intimidated or harassed. Like, personally, like, if I wanted to, I could sue not County of Shasta,
right,
but Kevin Cry.
Yeah.
Or Patrick Jones. And it's like, I could use a Ninja Coalition gym. I could use a wannabe shooting range. Like, they just, I don't think they understand that they're dealing with, they're in California.
Well, and they're not going to understand either until they actually have to, until it happens to them.
Right.
And they're personally faced with it.
Yep. Because nothing's going to change. They don't care about the laws.
Right.
Obviously. So hit them where it hurts.
Right. Wow. That's a lot of information.
Yeah. It was shocking. It was very shocking. Yeah.
So what would you like to see happen now? What do you feel like would be justice?
Honestly, at this point, you know, nothing's going to really, they're just going to hide behind county council.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the taxpayers who are going to suffer mm-hmm. for this. And I really think that they need to suffer a loss, like mm-hmm. monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
They need to experience like what it is to have to deal with a hardship,
mm-hmm.
what it feels like to be like, you know, put in your place.
Right. And humbled a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it. We dealt with all the bull crap.
Yeah.
All the bull crap all along, and mm-hmm. it was for nothing.
Right.
All of it was lies, and they know it.
Yeah.
They know it now.
And I feel like for strangers, just regular citizens, to be harassing is one thing, but when it's a elected official
mm-hmm.
who is supposed to be the one caring the most about the county employees, it's almost like an abusive parent or something.
Yeah.
And that's just shameful to me.
Well,
I feel like if they're not looking out for the best interest of the department's mental health and them as people and defending them and, you know, reporting it to the district attorney themselves and using their authority there, then who's there to protect you?
Right.
Luckily, the Department of Justice.
Thank God. Like, they just, even Jones was saying how the whistleblower program is inadequate because it's either the things are being, like, forgotten about or not even acknowledged.
Yeah.
So it's like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go to the union. I couldn't go to the DA. Like, what literally is there that I can do?
Right.
I had no agency.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Well, you could use your voice like you have done tonight and you have done many other times in the local media.
Yes.
And I hope that it makes a difference. I hope that you sharing your story and using your voice helps others do the same and not sit and take things they know that are wrong.
Right.
Because that's the only way it's going to stop.
Right.
If people keep allowing it, it's just going to continue. So hopefully it's made a difference.
I hope so. Just you deserve better.
Yeah.
We all deserve better.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing your part
in
our community. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, this was fun.
Appreciate you coming tonight.
Aww.
And thank you, Ben.
Thank you. I actually wanted to reach you guys about your car's extended warranty.
Oh, God.
All right, everybody. Have a good night. See you next week on Shasta and Mass.
Ta-ta.
haven't had a dream in a long time. See, the life I've had can make a good man bad.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.